Still Entitled is supported by City Cards with Android Pay. Listening on your phone? Now you can pay while you listen, using the same device. Just tap and go. Download the Android Pay app on Google Play or visit city.com/AndroidPay to get started. Android Pay is available for eligible City consumer credit and debit cards.
Welcome to Still Untitled, the Adam Savage Project. I am Adam.
I'm Norm.
And I'm Rebecca.
Hello, Rebecca.
Hello. We're back again.
Special guest Rebecca Watson again on the podcast.
No, still didn't get the memo about the dressing up.
No. Nope.
The podcast.
Nope. In fact, I'm wearing the exact same thing I was wearing last week.
Why do I got to be Mr. Pink? Mr. Black's on another job.
You can't make the same joke twice.
That's again, deja vu all over again.
All right, so we're going to talk about Stranger Things.
No.
First, let's talk about Dirty Poetry.
That's right. Sure. And then also getting married and giving, being efficient.
Yep.
I considered for this recording, because I knew we were going to record a couple, just bringing the ring to wear on the follow-up one.
Yeah, because you're going to be married then.
But I decided not to because...
Here's a Starfleet.
There you go.
Oh.
You can put that on.
Yeah. Wow.
Don't let him leave
with that. Is this the QMX one? It is the QMX one. It is the Starfleet Academy graduation ring.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's
so
a very nice
where do you
ring.
Wear the graduation ring?
I think you wear it on your right hand on the third finger. Let's see here.
Now I'm not going to put it on. You just put it in your mouth.
Yeah. Does anyone want to put
it on? But now it's worth an extra $10 on eBay.
Now with DNA. Now with more DNA.
Oh, boy.
Clone your own Adam.
So we went camping.
Yeah.
We did go camping.
Last week
we
went camping.
That was so fun. Yeah.
That was crazy fun.
Yeah.
It was a bunch of people from the Tested team for a project that will be on the site in the coming months, but we can talk about how fun it was just to get out. We've threatened to do this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you are a fan of camping.
I'm
you with
a
your
fan
kids.
Of camping. I'm a gearhead. So mm-hmm. I love the idea of bivouacking, sorting, making sure you have plans for every contingency. We did discover on this camping trip, to my shame and horror, that I did not have salt.
No salt.
No salt
in
my
Land
Cruiser.
We nearly died.
Wait,
sodium deficiency.
Salt. At the campsite.
You used all the salt.
No
way. Yes, you did.
All the salt was
gone.
Yeah,
we had bland eggs.
We had bland eggs
and
because
your
steaks were so damn good.
And it was your fault.
Why was it my fault? Because
you didn't have salt.
I have salt now. I've remedied that and there is now salt.
Is
it
like a tiny little salt shaker?
It's a film canister full of kosher salt.
Stolen some from the horses.
I can't, you know, a film canister, when I was a kid, I would always ask my mom if I could keep them because you can put little tiny things in there and
you
it's fun.
Keep your weed in there.
Or, well, that's she wouldn't let me have it and I couldn't understand why. And she said, people keep drugs in those. And I was like, I wanted to put bugs in mine.
I wanted to store the cut off fingertips of children I don't like.
Yes.
And
so now you're driving around with a film canister full of salt. You see how this is going to look bad.
I'll store it for you. I'll show you. It's not.
They could have it tested. It's fine.
Okay.
It's just salt.
All right.
I'm not snorting it. It's kosher. It's
kosher.
It's kosher.
Oh, boy.
Now you guys get an idea of how much we were roughing it, which is not at
not
all.
Not at all. So we were car camping or glamping.
Glamping.
Fancy camping.
Yeah, fancy camping.
Let's call it
fancy camping. On this beautiful farm, a horse farm in Bodega Bay, California. Bodega Bay is up the California coast. It is famous, most famous as the town in which they filmed the Hitchcock movie, The Birds.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. It's a famous honeymoon town. It's a beautiful seaside town with lots of great resorts and fish shacks. And oysters and
not great bodegas though. Weirdly enough, I visited the bodega and you know it was fine.
Yeah, they didn't have
Bodega Bay has bad bodegas.
Yeah, like I was expecting more.
Get on that Bodega Bay tourism board.
Terrible Wi-Fi reception.
No cat in there.
No
cat. You can have a bodega in Bodega Bay and not have a bodega cat?
There used to be this bodega cat around the corner from me in New York. I lived in Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, nice.
And there was this bodega and it had a white cat, but it was a Manhattan white cat, which meant it was gray and really filthy.
Yeah.
Right? And like filthy, like I'm living on the streets filthy. Because
right.
In Manhattan, like if you leave a window open, there'll be like a layer of ash, a film, like dust. It's really pervasive.
It's like living in a volcanic area.
Yeah, it is. When Mount St. Helens went off in the 80s and like it covered the whole country, it's like that in New York all the time.
Right.
And there was this cat, this white cat, that used to literally sit on its ass like this.
Yep, that's a bodega cat.
By the counter. It was so disturbing. It just sits there and looking at you. And somebody at one point took a coffee cup and put it there. Like, change, please. It was just...
To describe for people just listening to the audio. Tuna.
Yes, this cat sat like a man relaxing on the street. I mean, look,
but
the
like
cat looked like a homeless
spreading.
Person.
Right.
It's very disturbing and weird. The anthropomorphization of a cat looking, sitting there like it was a homeless person asking for change was disturbing, hilarious, upsetting. It was all of these things. It was the worst. It was like it's the upside down world of Disney animal personification. This is what you didn't see in Zootopia.
Yep.
Right?
I didn't see
the
anything
bad parts
in Zootopia.
Of Zootopia.
Because I'm an adult.
Zootopia is actually great.
It's so good.
No, I'm just looking to get more hate mail after, because it's died down.
What
after
did you get
I,
hate mail for again?
Tweeting that I liked your Jeep.
Oh, right.
It's a cruise lander.
It's a cruise lander. I'm sorry, you guys.
It's a Roverlander
cruiser.
Sorry.
Hashtag. Cruiser.
So we were camping. We were camping on this farm. So we were next to some buildings. We had power. We had water. It was more like car camping.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was me, my kids, thing one and thing two, Rebecca, your boyfriend, Adam, Simone, Yetch, Sean Charlesworth.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Sean was camping also out of his truck.
Yep. Yep.
I have a rooftop tent on my Land Cruiser.
I loved
and
this
was the inaugural camping trip for it. And
oh,
it
you
was,
never slept in
I haven't
there.
Slept in it before. I've only had it for like 5 months, 6 months.
Wait, when you were filming that episode of Mythbusters.
Oh, right. Maybe it's been longer that I've had it. But yes.
You had used it the one time.
I did.
Yeah.
Okay. It is a palace up there. I love rooftop tent camping, man.
It looked amazing.
Completely convinced. Just watching it deployed.
Yeah.
You get jealous just looking at it. Like you feel inadequate putting a tent on the dirt.
Yeah. And
where the bugs live.
Apparently, the company that made the one that Sean had, apparently they have them for Mini Coopers, which is what
goodness.
I have.
No
And
way.
I'm a little afraid that it's just going to collapse the entire roof. But if this is true,
strong.
I'm going to get one because that is amazing.
It is totally an amazing way to camp. Yeah. I love camping off the ground. It has its own mattress because the whole tent folds in half. So what happens is, to describe this, the tent takes up a huge amount of the roof rack, but it actually folds out to be double that amount of square area. And as it folds out, a ladder deploys and holds up that other second half that cantilevers off the car.
It's like a goddamn lunar module.
And it's effectively a queen size bed or a larger than full size mm-hmm. bed.
At which point does camping like that with power, water, deployable housing just become like living in an RV?
Well, I think it is a little like living in an RV. It's not quite as glam as that. But, you know, in a zombie apocalypse, I'd certainly rather have my 4x4 than an RV to get out of those muddy fire roads when you're running from zombies.
So it's just about, you know, living outdoors for a night.
Yeah. And I mean, you get all of the, you can still do all the fun camping stuff. You know, you can go hiking, you can make a fire. But yeah, it's just like for the nighttime, you get to live it up. And not hurt your back, you know. And
it was lovely. I don't know about you, but I slept like a rock out there.
I slept like a slightly more restless rock.
Really?
Yeah.
You had trouble?
Yeah. It's funny. I did. I had a dream at one point that I was in bed and thinking like, oh, my bed is so much softer than that ground was. So it was like a perfect dream to have. Yeah, my body was coping.
I actually went so far as the fancy camping. I went so far. I sleep with a bean pillow. That's one of my favorite things. And I brought my
pillow?
Bean. Yeah, it's a pillow filled with beans.
Oh, you mean like the stretchy?
So
like,
it's not stretchy.
You can eat it if things go bad.
I don't know whether
what
it's
type
quinoa
of legumes
or whatever kind of beans it's filled with.
Right.
But it's kind of crunchy and it holds my head. It's great. My wife and I both were addicted to them.
See, because we drove right there and we didn't have to hike to a spot.
Right.
I just brought my actual pillow. So that was quite nice.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, sleeping with your actual pillow makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
And you helped my son. You taught my son how to drive a stick shift.
I did. Yeah.
Thing two is a good driver, an excellent driver.
He's a great
driver. And he drove your Mini Cooper.
Yeah. I'd like to say, you know, I have brothers, but they're both older than me. So it felt like, oh, I get to be like a big sister and yeah, teach him to drive. And yeah, he was great. We didn't run into anything. And later on in the day, when everyone had already had one beer and wanted more because we were out and no one could drive anywhere.
He drove Rebecca.
He drove me to the bodega.
The bad bodega.
Yeah, yeah. And everything was perfect until he was turning into the bodega, did not use his blinker. And the car behind us honked. And he was like, what's her problem? And I said, her problem is you didn't use a blinker. And he's like, I was just turning into the bodega. And I was like, yeah. So you use a goddamn blinker.
You always use a blinker.
Took off a mark for it. A minus.
So let me tell you that young man had his very first fender bender 3 days ago.
Oh, thank goodness he didn't do it in my precious car.
He did it in my precious car. Ah. But he dented it was very minor.
Was it because he didn't use his blinker?
No, not quite. It was totally his fault. These things happen. Yeah. It's totally cool. It's totally normal. It's like a rite of passage, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. So we didn't get bent out of shape out about, you know, we all have insurance, so it's fine. He did dent the smallest body panel on the car.
That's nice. All you can hope for.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, on some of these modern cars, you could dent the front fender, which is somehow contiguous with the back fenders. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then it's like, you got to replace this unibody fiberglass thing. Right. It's like $8,000.
Yeah. I got to imagine the people who key cars research, like, okay,
right.
How can
exactly
I make these smallest cuts that do the most amount of damage? That gets me the most points in this game.
Yeah.
People who key cars really upset me.
Yeah.
I see it in the mission all the time. Yeah.
When I was a teenager, I wrecked my parents' car. I didn't wreck it. I did later, but the first time you almost wrecked it. I didn't have my license yet, and we had this. My parents had this long, long driveway. They live way back in the woods, and my mom and I were driving somewhere, and she was like, do you want to drive to the end of the driveway? And I need to get like a walk-in. So I'll like jog up there and you meet me like at the mailbox. And I was like, okay. And she's like, I'll race you. And she takes off. And so I hop in the van, I turn it on and I hit the gas and it was in reverse.
Oh.
And I back up into our porch and collapse the whole porch down on the van. And so my mom hears the crash and comes running back and looks at what I've done. And, you know, my parents were, my mom particularly was pretty strict growing up. And so I'm like petrified what's going to happen. Yeah. And so she looks at what's happened and she turns to me and she says, get in the car. And I was like, why? And she's like, we're going to the liquor store to get your father some beer so when he comes home, he doesn't kill you. And so we go to the liquor store. We get, I get like a 24-pack of Moosehead beer, my dad's favorite beer.
Apology beer.
And yeah, I just sit on the collapsed porch holding the beer and my dad pulls up after work, gets out of the car and like reaches in the box, opens a Moosehead and goes, I was going to redo the porch anyway.
Oh.
Best parents ever.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
By the way, that accident, not realizing the car's in reverse and stepping on the gas, is the accident I lived in more fear of on Mythbusters than any other.
Really? Mm.
Because we did car myths all the time. I mean, we might have done more car myths than any other single category. They were great. I love driving. I'm become a much better driver because of Mythbusters. So I love exercising those new skills. I love getting trained to do things. And it's a lot of bang for the buck editorially. You get a lot out of a one day of car driving. You get ancillary cameras and commentary, lots of material. But you're also doing things like, the cameraman says, can you just scoot back just a foot?
Oh, yeah.
And you're doing lots of that arranging for the camera. Okay. And you're many things are going on.
Right.
And you're concentrating on an experimental methodology, camera, narrative, talking to the camera. What's my role? How am I going to do this maneuver? And you're absolutely in constant danger of doing exactly that, not realizing which gear the car is in, stepping on the gas and running over someone who doesn't expect that.
Right. Right. Yeah.
That was the one I was most terrified of and most kind of convinced would be the accident that someone would get really harmed. We finished the series with no one ever getting harmed, but that's the one I said this a third time.
Going in reverse. Afraid. Yeah. When you don't expect it, it takes that second. And then it's also like weird. What? dyslexia. Yeah. Right. Like, why is everything backwards? And then right. you got to rearrange your brain.
Yeah. Have you done those? Have you taken one of those courses where it's like crazy offensive, defensive driving?
I know many police driving ranges do courses like that for yeah. civilians, and the Alameda County Sheriff's Department does. I haven't taken their course, but I have been trained by their police right. driving trainer multiple times.
I want to do that, but they're crazy expensive. Like, is it like, I guess this is more like the stunt driving sort of classes. That's kind of what
one,
I want.
They do one up at in what's not Infineon, it's not Sears Point, now it's something else. The raceway up in Sonoma County. They do one up there that's yeah. apparently really fantastic.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, getting trained in driving tactically is so much freaking fun that yeah. it's worth it.
Yeah,
like, whatever they're going to charge, thinking. It's yeah. totally worth it. It improves your ability to know the limits of the car. Right. After
you bring your car,
I don't know. Oh, that's me. Right? No, I can't answer that just yet. Sorry, Steve. I'll call you back. You really get to understand the limits of what's going to happen. After a bunch of years, I was a terrible driver when we started shooting Mythbusters. But after a few years, we were back east and I hit some black ice and my car started going sideways. And my heart rate never went up. I just literally knew exactly how to adjust the oversteer and kind of yeah. keep going straight. And like 3 days later, my wife was like, "You have to stop aiming for the black ice."
Like, my question for that is in terms of simulations, because you can do that in VR, you do a lot of car driving simulations, getting like a full video game set up. Like, how adequately will that actually prepare you for the real environment?
Divergent,
it's a question I have.
Stuff?
Yeah.
I don't think it's hard to say. This was always something we wanted to test on Mythbusters. It was an episode we had planned and plotted for years called Nintendo versus Pro. And if I remember correctly, Top Gear did something like that. They took a kid who hadn't driven very much, had him drive an F1 or something like that on a track that he would get used to, and then see how well he did compared to a novice. It's a difficult experiment methodologically in terms of getting a really proper, precise control.
Right. Yeah.
But it's a fascinating question, and it's one we had, again, several times gone down the path to experiment with.
Because, pilots, when they train with simulators, a lot of that is just to get the procedures right, because there's so many procedures
yes.
and not necessarily about the instinctual training your instincts in that moment.
When things feel really different when you're moving and when the thing you do changes what is happening around you. You know, I remember when the first time virtual reality came around, which is why I've been skeptical of it this time. Like, oh yeah, loads of fun, but it's not going to catch on.
Right.
But yeah, in arcades, we would have these crazy spaceship style things where you lift up on hydraulics.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you like lean one way or the other. And I was a huge flight simulator nerd. And so getting to feel what it feels like when you go to the left or the right, it's a very different experience, you know.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
And I'll also
it's
say
it's totally
like,
a different experience. It's really hard to equate. I think flying simulators are easier to give you that kind of, you know, that pitch and yaw that happens when you're in a plane. Wow, I'm excuse me.
Are you allergic to me?
I'm not. I was playing around. I was working in the shop here before you guys arrived, and I stirred up a bunch of dust.
I will say this. I was really into flight simulators as a kid. And then for Christmas one year, my parents gave my brother flight lessons and he didn't want them. Oh, sorry.
Oh.
So, yeah. So like 6 months later, I was like, are you going to use that? He's like, eh. I was like, yoink. So,
so you got flying
I was
lessons.
Like 13 or so.
Wow.
And
you definitely had the coolest parents ever.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, they, you know, my mom left it to my dad because, you know, it was his flight simulator that I was always playing. And he's like, yeah, I think she'll be all right, you know. And so, and they checked with the airport, you know, where we did it. And they're like, yeah, it should be fine. We'll just take her up and, you know, show her what it's like. So we were in a Cessna and we get in. And I was immediately like, that's the artificial horizon and that's the throttle. And, like, and I was just so excited. And the guy was just like, yeah. And the guy was like, do you want to take off? And I was like, oh. And he's like, I'll land it, but you can take off if you want. Because taking off is easy. You
right. just landing is the
put
hard.
The throttle down. You know? So yeah, he let me take off and fly around Delaware, basically.
Oh, that is so cool.
For like an hour. Yeah. And then, yeah, he landed it. But it was like the Microsoft Flight Simulator 94 or whatever. Like,
and it wasn't until last year that you realized it was all a simulation.
Oh, right. Right. And yeah. I've been dead the entire time.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so but yeah, BTUs.
It was. And because like a lot of that, though, it translated, I think, because it's so gentle when you're moving in a Cessna. You know, it's not like you fly to the side, or you know, you shouldn't be.
I have driven car simulators that were very, it just didn't feel nearly as so. Yeah, that situational awareness is everything when driving.
Yeah.
And you have to be much more a finely granular situational awareness than you do in an airplane, I think.
Yeah.
Because you have obstacles, things moving.
Yeah, there's a lot less to avoid in the air.
Yes. Here in the Mission District, just making a right or left turn off of Valencia can take your whole life and several other people's into your hands.
Yeah, exactly.
With the bikers and skateboarders and electric vehicles and hipsters and everything.
Yeah. And I think until you ride a bike in a city regularly, you don't realize, like, cars are deadly weapons, and people need to be way more careful with them.
They really do. And can I just say this for the record? The bike lane is for bikes, and I don't mean motorcycles or scooters.
Yeah.
I checked.
Yeah.
It is against the law for you to ride your damn scooter or motorcycle in the bike lane and pass me on the right. No, the one wheel's totally okay.
One wheel's okay?
Yes. Okay. The boosted board and one wheel segways are okay in the bike lane. Not motorcycles or scooters. It's driving me crazy as a driver. Passing on the right used to be a point on your license.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. What's worse as a cyclist, though, are people who park in the bike lane.
Yes. Which like all happens. Uber drivers.
Yes.
And what I really like is when they put on their flashers and just drift halfway into the bike lane and crawl.
Yeah. Yeah.
In which case, no. You have no idea which door is going to open.
Right. At any point.
It could be any one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been doored before. I used to ride a bicycle in Manhattan in the 80s, so I definitely have hit my share of car doors.
Yeah. I was doored in Boston. I've been hit by cars several times.
I once was
turns
on
out a, I'm unbreakable though.
I once was on a bike that got run over by a car while I was riding it, and I was fine, but literally both tires bent at an angle like that. The guy got out of the car and he was like, "You're amazing."
I got T-boned by an SUV once. Holy and other people called 911 and the ambulance, and so I'm like, okay, I guess I'll wait around and make a report. And the ambulance shows up and they're like, "Where's the cyclist?" I was like, "Hey," and they're like, "We were here to pick up a corpse." I was like, "Wow. Oh no, I'm fine."
Wow.
And like they checked me out, I had like a big bruise
it
along
turns out
my
you're
leg.
Still dead, Rebecca.
I've been dead this whole time. Oh my god.
We're going back to the previous
also
podcast.
I crashed that plane.
I think your next appointment is here.
I think it is. Oh. Is the door
yes, door right. is knocking. So.
I think that's a good place to stop
the
podcast.
Sorry, short. I'm in the Arctic right now.
Uh-huh. I was in the Arctic.
So we'll hopefully find a way to have episodes in the next 2 weeks. But we'll see you in September.
Thanks on the wedding.
Thank you.
Yes.
No, it went great, right? Went so well.
It was so great.
So well.
Norma's I thought she wasn't going to show up. When she was an hour late, I got worried.
Okay, stop. Right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks again for listening to this week's episode of Still Untitled. Now, if you have an extra minute, I would love a favor from you all. Please go to untitledsurvey.com to take a very short anonymous survey about today's episode. It would be a big help to the show, and I'd appreciate it. Also, it's my birthday today, so consider it a birthday present to Norm. Again, that's untitledsurvey.com. For a quick survey to help out this podcast. See you next week.